And good morning, good morning, good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I heard it wrong, Josh Wheeler. Did he say 22 degrees outside?
Oh, yeah, it's cold. I was expecting my windows to be frosted, so it must not be quite cold enough.
But cold enough.
Cold, yeah.
I saw a bit of snow, yes. Remnants of snow on my car.
This is our false winter because it's going to be right back in the 40s and 50s this week.
Perfect. Because so, you know what I have not done yet?
Yeah.
I have not cleaned out my gutters. Mm. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. As I was walking out to my car this morning, I said, all right, this is, I think, my week, 1 week warning of get your stuff straight this week before it's too late. This is your 1 week to get it done.
Before it's too late.
Yeah.
Well, we have a jam-packed show today. Mm-hmm. I know you were gone last week. Mm-hmm. Did you have a fun time, or what did you?
I just took a respite day.
Nice.
Yes.
Happy to have you back.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot going on in the world of health, as there continues to always be. New stories popping up every other day about different studies and things we need to be aware of. Sometimes it can be a little complicating as well, because sometimes 1 week it's this and next week it's that. But there was a big report out that our boss sent this along to me about melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about melatonin as being that medication, or that's, I guess it's a vitamin, or melatonin to help you sleep.
Yes.
Lots and lots of people take it. Children, too. Well, this new report, it was 5 years of records, 130,000 adults who had insomnia, who used melatonin for at least a year, found they are more likely to be diagnosed with heart failure, require hospitalization for the condition, even die. So, talked to a doctor earlier this week, said not to take it long term, which is a little tricky. So maybe you do need to talk to your doctor and find out whether you should take it, a different medication to help you sleep, one that won't affect you in that way. Also this week, federal health regulators sent warnings out to 18 cosmetic websites selling counterfeit or unapproved versions of Botox. That would be bad if you got a bad box of Botox. Well, here's Steve Kathan from CBS News.
The FDA said it took the action after receiving reports of injuries in connection with the products commonly used to smooth wrinkles, including what it said were symptoms of botulism. Botox is a diluted, purified form of botulinum, one of the most toxic substances in the world. The ingredient works by temporarily blocking nerve cells and causing muscles to relax. While okayed for cosmetic use, Botox is also approved for a number of medical conditions, including muscle spasms and eye disorders. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Here's another interesting story that came across. Thunderstorms, Josh. Thunderstorms can pose a serious health risk for people with asthma. This is Stacy Lynn of CBS News. She has this story.
Researchers from the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology looked at data from hospitals in Wichita, Kansas, and found emergency department visits by those suffering asthma attacks increased when it stormed outside. The study found the average number of asthma visits was nearly 10 per day during thunderstorms, compared to just 3 on non-storm days. They concluded that thunderstorm asthma is an environmental phenomenon that can worsen in heavy pollen areas. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
I wonder if it, you know, kind of stirs up the pollen.
Elevates everything a
little bit. Yeah, maybe all that wind, all that wind and such. Well, here's another one. A new study suggests that radiation may not be necessary for breast cancer patients. Michael Wallace has that.
The study in the New England Journal of Medicine followed 1,600 women for almost 10 years. They were at intermediate risk with early stage 2 breast cancer. It found radiation in the chest wall made no difference in survival rates among those who had been treated with mastectomy, lymph node surgery, and advanced anti-cancer drugs. Patients who had radiation and those who didn't both had survival rates of just over 81%. The women who were treated with radiation were at a lower risk of having their cancer return. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
It is just about 14 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and when we come back, we're going to tell you a little bit more about menopause. There was a unique, maybe the first of its kind, summit that was held this week in Minneapolis, and we'll have a doctor with us after this. And we are back. We are back. We are. It is about 18 minutes now past 7 o'clock a chilly morning, 22 degrees in the Twin Cities, but we will be warming back up. So that is good news. A summit in Minneapolis this past week focused on menopause. It can be extremely difficult for many with symptoms like weight gain, sleep disruptions, and hot flashes. And it's really, really catching on in the news with Hollywood stars like Naomi Watts and Halle Berry speaking about their experience with it. And that's really signaling a growing trend of women refusing to suffer in silence, mostly just like, oh, you know, you kind of talk about it on the side, your hot flashes. Well, here in Minnesota, a lot of women, doctors, had a chance to sit down and learn more about it and the years leading up to a woman's final period. I had a chance this week to talk to Dr. Somi Javid, who was in town for a one-day event called The Change. She talked about how we're changing the way we look at menopause.
If you stop and think about it, women, if we're lucky enough to get to menopause, it's inevitable. What has traditionally been is suffering, and that should not be. And we are going to spend 40% of our lives in perimenopause and menopause. And there are so many symptoms, so many treatments, so many ways that we can start to live longer, but healthier. And I think that's what this is, a call to arms, women saying enough is enough.
What would you say is a common misperception about menopause?
That menopause stops. I hear that all the time. I'm through it, Dr. Javid. It stops. Well, yes, technically, semantics, menopause is a singular day, the day you've gone 12 months without a period, if you haven't had a hysterectomy or an ablation. But the second one is hormones will give me cancer. We have not been able to unring that WHI bell we rung with the press conference a very long time ago. But those are the two biggest myths I hear.
What are the most common symptoms of menopause?
Oh, hands down, hot flashes, brain fog, insomnia or, you know, trouble sleeping, night sweats, weight gain, body composition changes. So even if the scale doesn't change, people are like, why don't my pants fit correctly? And I would say joint pains and aches, low energy, anxiety, depression, low sex drive.
And so if someone's experiencing these things, what would your advice be to them? And do you think that women in general just sort of tough it out and wait until it's too much before they reach out?
I think historically, women have been dismissed if they try to get help. They're told it's all in their head. They're told to white knuckle it. Doctors aren't trained. Currently, the very sad statistic is one trained provider for every 32,000 patients. Imagine that. I'm a board certified OBGYN and received less than a month of training in my 12 years of medical training. And so I think that women, number one, this is what I tell them. I empower them. Empower, educate, and exit. That's my three E's. Empower yourself to say no if your provider's not listening to you. Educate yourself about your symptoms because no one knows your body better than you do. And exit. So if your provider is dismissing you or is not trained in menopause, you have permission to break up with that provider.
Why is it that some women have severe symptoms and some women don't? For example, I'm 62 years old and I did not really have any dramatic symptoms. So is it just physiologically our bodies are different?
So everyone's experience is different. I think that's what makes diagnostics so hard from perimenopause and menopause. And everyone's experience is different. What you can rely on a lot is family history. But, oh, wait a second. The last generation didn't talk about it. So that's the problem. So there's that. You know, we didn't talk about it. The thing that we can rely on. The second thing is I challenge people. There's visible symptoms of menopause that you and I talked about. And depending on which expert you talk to, there's 30 to 50 head to toe, you know, symptoms of perimenopause and menopause because that estrogen receptors lie basically head to toe. But there's invisible symptoms that are happening to all of us. All of us have changes in the brain that are separate and distinct from aging. We now know this from data that actually increases our risk of all-cause dementia. There are cardiovascular and lipid changes that are occurring that are negative. Like one example is our cholesterol rises, the arteries around the heart stiffen. This is due to lack of estrogen or lower estrogen levels. And we all start to experience bone loss. So what I challenge patients is, yeah, you may not be having any of the visible symptoms, but what about the invisible symptoms? And those are the ones that can kill you, ladies. A hip fracture, the mortality risk is 30% in the first year. So how do you know if your bones are thinning or not? You don't, unless you get the imaging study and unless you have a doctor who investigates and asks you the right questions.
So if you have a doctor, a male doctor, might you say, can I get some of these areas of my body checked so that you advocate for yourself and say, can I get a bone density test, etc.?
You should advocate for yourself, and that's part of the education, is learning about what modalities that are out there for you so that you can make an individualized, curated decision about your treatment pathway. Is it going to include hormones? Is it going to include non-prescription hormone therapy? Is it pelvic floor physical therapy? Is it a direct-to-consumer medication or device? So those are the things that you have to decide. My biggest passionate issue is I want women to make decisions based on the data of today, not the myths of yesteryear.
That's awesome. I think I'll leave it there. Thank you, doctor. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed that very interesting day-long summit. A lot of women from the Twin Cities there, a lot of physicians talking about, as you just said, many physicians not being trained in this area, and yet 50% of us go through it. And we experience one thing or another or nothing. And so why is that? So best to advocate for yourself. That's the word I heard. Advocate for yourself when you're going to the doctor if you have a pain. Because as we know, I think women tend to, maybe this is a mass generalization, but I think a lot of times we do suffer in silence. We just buck it up and say, you know, like my shoulder, I'm going to complain now for about a minute on the air. My shoulder is sore. Josh, and I am not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what? At what point do I say, okay, now you have to go get it looked at. Mm-hmm. It hurts. Do you think men are more whiny babies and they say if things hurt?
I mean, I'm a poster child of not going to get something looked at if something hurts. Okay. I just kind of wait it out and wait till it goes away. But I think, I mean, that's kind of how I found out I had cancer, was I finally bucked up and went in and got looked at, you know, after a couple days of being Mr. Tough Guy. So
yeah,
these things are important to check it.
Right. Don't be Mr. or Mrs. Tough Guy.
Yeah.
So you are listening to our Health Hour, as you said, and we're kind of changing it up. I know some people really like the hour long with one doctor, and we can certainly do that occasionally, but we want to kind of open it up a little bit, kind of a variety of topics. And if you have a topic you want us to delve into, please go ahead and give us a text, 651-461-9226. You can also call and share your thoughts. Maybe you're feeling like you want to hear about a different topic. We've talked a lot about lung cancer because, as you know, like your cancer, Josh, I had lung cancer. I actually went to a big event on Friday night, and it's called A Breath of Hope, which we've had those folks on before. Mm-hmm. And they help people who are lung cancer survivors. And there is a never-ending list of things to pay attention to, whether or not it's Alzheimer's, whether it's pancreatic cancer, all the walks you think of, the breast cancer walks, the blood cancer walks, lots and lots of topics that we can cover.
Yeah.
So we will take a break. It is about 28 minutes past 7 o'clock. And when we come back, we're going to kind of push the envelope a little and talk about love and how important love and community is to your health. There's actually science to back it up. And I know some people might think, ah, well, it's true. I'm going to say it right now. Love is important. So we'll be back right after this quick break on News Talk 830-WCCO.
There's a lot of boxes that need to be ticked. I know this man is out there. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of finding him. 7-figure salary.
Right.
Already said morning routine.
Yes.
That includes
We are talking this next half hour with a friend of mine, Kaylin Rosenberg. She is the love architect, and that was just a little snippet from a TikTok video that is on TikTok right now with her. And welcome, Kaylin. Thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning.
Tell us about
thanks for having me.
Tell us about that TikTok video.
Well, we are Penelope, and
Penelope.
I are using it as a prime example of the reality of what I deal with when meeting singles all over the world who really genuinely want to find love, and they are not understanding how or why they're getting in their own way. And we thought, you know what? Let's show them. Let's just really genuinely, really thoughtfully show them. And it's good that you can laugh. I think a lot of people are like almost saddened by it. But it's real stuff, and we're going to be continuing to take people through her journey and hopefully indirectly help a lot of people not only wake up and learn, but also find love,
right,
find what they
right.
deserve.
Because I was researching you, and I was researching love and looking at love studies. You know, there's research that suggests that married people, as well as those in a strong social relationship, tend to live longer. They're at lower risk of heart attacks, certain types of cancer, and infections like pneumonia. So what's happening with love in our bodies that make us have positive health benefits?
Well, I think it's that, you know, I think we're really meant to have a person, a partner, to really be in packs and in pairs, you know, whether it's an actual romantic partner or relationship, but also a best friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone that's there sort of as a comrade to go through life with us, because life is always handing us something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it affects our cortisol levels. It affects our dopamine and our serotonin and, you know, the norepinephrine, all of the things that we have in our bodies that we kind of chemically and energetically feed off of with and from each other. It's why we're so sensitive to environments as human beings. So I really believe that that's a lot of it. But you know what? If we're in the wrong relationship, though, as we all know, it can also oftentimes do the opposite. So that is very much true. That's a true study. When you are in a decent to good to hopefully really healthy and fulfilling relationship, which is my work and my goal.
And we want to invite people listening. Maybe they have a friend. Maybe they themselves are single and they're wondering about, maybe they've tried all the online and it just, it's really tough out there. So if you're listening right now and you have a question for Kaylin, it's 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And we're talking about love as it relates to your health, and love is fun. Falling in love is fun. And I haven't fallen in love in a very long time, Kaylin. And you talk about getting in our own way. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. It's the number one thing that's happening. You know, if singles or married, you know, I work with married couples as well and help heal marriages and families and individuals. So, but, you know, I have a passion for singles. And the thing is that we... no matter what age, most of us never learned how to truly have a relationship, let alone a healthy relationship. It's been, love and relationships have been romanticized in our lives since we were little. And then you have the reality, or non-reality in many ways of what society and television and commercialism has thrown at us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get back into those kind of and stuck in those chemicals that we were talking about a moment ago, that it is about the romance. It's about the, oh, my Lord, this is it. I found my person. I've fallen in love. And really that is, we know the first phase is the genuine honeymoon phase. And then we expect it to stay there and just be ourselves, which
mm-hmm.
in a healthy way, if you know how to have a healthy relationship or a true relationship, oftentimes it can be a lot of that. It's magical and amazing. It's what we all deserve and we can have, but we were never taught. Most of us would not be able to say, sadly, that we came from a mom and a dad or a family foundation that really exemplified, this is how you get through hard times. This is how you love and honor and lift one another. This is how you have healthy boundaries for yourself, for your partner in a relationship. We didn't learn that. And so we go into life, we fall in love, we have all the stuff that feels good. And then we have our first major disconnect or fight And instead of recognizing, oh, wait, this is just a person that also comes with their own unique stuff and learning, and they also really don't know what they're doing other than they kind of love or dig me. And instead of looking at it with compassion or seeking to understand or go deeper into that and grow together from it, we get pissed off, we get scared, we think we've met the wrong one, and we turn it into far more than it needed to become, and we spiral, and then we end a relationship that could have been amazing. We have far too many divorces that never needed to happen. That one breaks my heart, and families that are broken because of it. And so, you know, that's what's going on. And again, going back to the work that I do as a love architect, it is all about the true foundational space and design and building of the relationship. I call it your love house, right, where love lives in your life, building and creating that so that no matter where you are, even if you're on your sixth marriage, we can actually figure it out and get it right for you before, you know, before you're not here anymore. Because it's worth it.
It is. A texter writes, funny, I'm just re-watching Sex and the City. The episode on finding love was just on. I met my husband the one time I made a New Year's resolution to find a good boyfriend. We've been married since 2009. Boy, that's great. Well, talk about
love it.
Intention.
Yeah.
What do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
In fact, Susie, I don't know if you're into this or if you've read it. My husband and I just started reading Neville Goddard.
No.
Have you heard of him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, Neville Goddard, really anything of his, just crazy. But it's very, very much about really the true power of intention. And it's not to get too woo-woo for some people. But, you know, I believe energy is real. Thought is real. It is real. Intention, we put our intention into getting up and out of bed, or we'd still be in bed sleeping. So
I know I would right now.
Yeah. When we put our intention out there, we're putting an energetic thought and out there into the world, and we are calling to ourselves what we want. Right. And that is now changing, going back to chemistry and the chemicals we were talking about. That actually shifts the chemistry in our own brain that then flushes through our body, that then emits it energetically and out even through pheromones. And people pick up on it. And so that's actually when I met my husband. Same thing happened the morning before I met him. I met him at First Avenue later the evening. But that morning, I literally got on my knees and I prayed. I'm like, Lord, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm helping all these other people find their amazing people and soulmates. And where's mine? Like, I want mine. And I'm like, Lord, I'm ready. Like, you know, so for me, it was prayer. But putting it out there and just, Lord, show me, and I know I'll know him when I see him. And later that night, he and I met, and we've been together 27 years.
Wow, that's terrific. 651-461-9226. A texter asks, is this true? Is it better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all?
Oh yeah, we're built to love, right? Yeah. We come from love. We make love. We create love when we're blessed to have the opportunity and if the desire is there to have children. And so especially when there's loss, it's hard. But
worth it.
It's a gift.
I have a new grandchild.
Congratulations.
Well, he's one in. Or 14 months now, but he is, he lights me up. I said to my mom, I said, I think I might be in love with Isaiah. And my mom's like, of course you are. You know, and last night I had opportunity to hang out with him and have a bath. And just honestly, that kind of genuine joy to be near that, you know, that wonder, that like he was cracking up, Caitlin, to put one cup into another cup. Like, that just killed him. He thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever seen in his life. And we did it 62 times. Every time he thought it was funny. But, I mean, that's
That's love.
That touches my heart. And that changes me, right? That puts me in a different spot when I have that in my heart, right?
Yeah, that's
great.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that is exactly it.
But so I want to jump back. I'm going to jump back in because I want to kind of take a few steps back to a healthy relationship.
Sure.
So in terms of boundaries and shame and fear, like what are those things that block us from moving forward? You know, how do they keep us stuck?
They become cemented in us as our belief system, right? And if we've had a lot of pain and hardship and in our own experiences of love and relationships, wounding, you know, again, love and relationships going back to our parents. Well, how were we loved? How were they able to love themselves so that they could love into us in a healthy way as a parent or not?
Yeah. What happened? What happened
or not?
What if you but what if you have a family history where you didn't see it? Can, you know, how do you learn? Right, how do you learn it?
Massive trial and error.
Mm.
And unfortunately it typically becomes error because, again, we are comparing it to all the romanticized experiences and visions and views that we've read and we've watched since we were kiddos.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't get it. And it's kind of like we're the little kid innocently out on the playground that has the bully. And we think that our partner is the bully. And they may be bullying us, but maybe they were bullied or maybe they weren't loved the right way. And that, 99% of the time, that is actually the case. But they, in their heart, they love you. So it's like you'll have people say, you know, you'll have people mean. They'll be mean to you and they'll say, but I do love you. They mean it. They just don't know how to love. They don't know how to demonstrate that love in a healthy, productive way. But their heart feels love and fluffy and they want to make you happy. And so then you have all these people walking around like failures and feeling like failures and failing.
Mm.
So I will tell you, the whole dating industry is inside out, upside down, backwards. I actually can't stand it. I'm a big part of it. I'm a leading expert in it, but I can't stand it because I think that far too much of our dating industry is keeping singles stuck. It's just keeping them stuck in the romantic crap. It's not putting enough focus and truth and awareness on the necessity to learn how to love and how to have a healthy relationship. The beauty is that you can learn it at any age. I have kids that I work with that are in their teens, a lot of young men, which is that just want to learn how to love and have a, they don't want to do it the way their mom or dad did it. And then I also have clients in their 80s and even, you know, late 80s. I mean, how freaking cool is that? And I'm just humbled and honored.
Yeah,
so, you know, we can learn. You can teach an old dog new tricks. You can.
All right. It is 7:46 on a Sunday morning. We're talking about love, and it is a health topic because it does relate to your well-being. If you experienced love, whether it's a romantic love with a partner or a grandchild or church friends, it's all positive. But we are kind of honing in on how to have a healthy relationship. How to have a healthy relationship, 651-461-9226. We'll wrap it up with Kaylin Rosenberg, the love architect, right after this. And we are back with our final segment with Kaylin Rosenberg, the love architect, talking about love and its impact on your well-being, your heart, your blood vessels, your brain, your lungs. And we've invited people to join us at 651-461-9226. Kaylin, just got a phone call from a gentleman named Rich who says that 10 years ago, I was set up with him on a blind date to go see Garth Brooks, and he says that I bagged it. I ghosted him. Now, that might be true, but I don't remember it. But I want to say the truth is my truth is that I'm terrified of being in an intimate relationship. I am, because I like my cocoon. I like my little cocoon.
So
are there like exercises to do? You know what I mean? Because we have a couple text questions as well, and I want to get to those too.
Sure. So you are the one that ghosted him, like you literally, Susie.
I should do that.
No. He's talking about you?
Yeah, he said I.
Okay.
He said
gotcha.
I jilted him on this date. Now, I don't remember it, but I'm saying that's pretty common for me to freak out and cancel dates because I don't want to do it. Because I'd rather watch TV under my blanket on my couch.
Yeah.
But that does prohibit me from ever having intimate relationship with another person if I never get out of the house.
It protects you, right? In a sense, right? So, and you know that. So you're scared. You've had enough and you've been through enough, apparently, love has said, I'm not safe for you. You can have it with your grandson. You can have it with your friends. I know you have amazing girlfriends. You have a beautiful career and many people that love and adore and respect you. So you do get a lot of love, actually.
You're
fed a lot of love.
Mm.
And so you may, in many ways, have, you know, everybody's different. You may have enough love, But if there's a little bit of something inside of you that says, no, I really want to get past this. I don't want to be this anymore. I want to meet someone, and I don't want to stay stuck, and I don't want to keep cocooning myself. You know, are there exercises and things that you can do? Yeah, you and I can do some things on the side and work on some things and heal through that. You absolutely can. I've been working with a woman out in LA for years, and she was just like you, and she's finally truly in the most amazing relationship with the guy that she met out in Palm Beach. Mm. And they now live together. So, but it took a long time and going through some really real stuff.
Yeah.
So yes, you can always move through that, but it's really, you know, actually, Susie, what you're doing though is what the one of the first things we need to do is we've always heard, but most don't know how to do it or even what it looks or truly feels like, is learn to love ourselves. And so even though this might be a little bit dysfunctional in how you respond and react in a way of protecting yourself, it's also a way of loving yourself, because you're sitting with yourself and you're saying, you know, I'm just not going to put myself through anymore. I'm not going to bring any more pain into my life. I want to love myself and just have some joy that has some consistency for a while. Hmm. And that's actually a first step, interestingly enough, right? In learning to trust people and trust love. You have to learn to trust yourself.
Yeah. All right, let's get some questions. 651-461-9226. A texter writes, good morning. After 27 years of marriage, I lost the love of my life 2 years ago. I feel I am ready to love again. However, it is so difficult nowadays because no one wants to meet in person. Everything's online.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I'm old-fashioned, but how do I navigate this?
I know.
Great question, though,
my
right?
Coming up. Yeah. It's a really good question. So the thing is that it's interesting. Most people, Susie, are doing what you're doing. More people than I've ever seen. They just, especially, I'll tell you, since COVID and technology has been an awful mess for people who want to find someone. Mm. We just don't know what or who to trust anymore. Mm. And it doesn't feel as safe as it used to feel anymore. And people are more disconnected than they've ever been. And so while people are saying that they hate online, you know, like 99% of singles are meeting online and on dating apps, but yet they say they can't stand it and that they wish they could meet in person. But we've forgotten how to communicate. We've forgotten how to just be humans and normal and see each other and flirt and smile with our eyes and say hello and engage. Mm. And we need to get back to that. And one way, though, one area that a lot of people haven't lost that beautiful ability. It's, look what you're doing even right now with me or when you're out and about at work or outside of work. When we are in our jobs, or if you're in any type of sales, anything where you are needing to communicate with others, which is typically most people in their work or job or career, they do it beautifully there still. But when it comes to finding a partner, they just freeze up. And so if we can get offline, get back into life, there are singles, hundreds of millions of singles in this country, really good people that really want a great relationship and they want to learn. And they're at the grocery store. They're pumping gas. They're getting coffee in line. They're sitting at Dun Brothers. Start saying hi. We all have far more in common. That's one of the things that I'm finding and actually starting to love, even though I just, you know, diss technology. At the same time, things like TikTok, things like Instagram are actually pulling people together because we're starting to lean on each other for information, for advice, for experience and insight. Those same people are in their homes and they're walking outside and they're doing real life things. And so if we can just start looking at each other that way and communicating and connecting, we all want the same thing.
Yep.
We want a
yep.
happy, safe world we can live in where we love each other.
All right. We're going to leave it there. But someone did ask you to respell the name of Neville Goddard. How do you spell it?
Oh, great.
Oh, that's all right.
Around me.
N-E-V-E-L. I think
you'll find it.
Goddard, G-O-D-D-A-R-D.
Yep.
Google so. Neville Goddard.
So good.
And then how can people find you?
Yeah, go to kaylenrosenberg.com or thelovearchitects.com. I've got a big book event and signing at Galleria Thursday, Barnes & Noble, next Thursday the 13th.
I'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks,
good.
Kaylen. Have a great afternoon.
Oh, you too, honey. Have a great day.
Kaylen Rosenberg, The Love Architect on WCCO.